Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Good morning and welcome to Labors of Love. I am Deacon Stephen Nolte, sitting in for Margaret Alleria, who couldn't be with us today. I'm joined once again by Mrs. Leslie Brown as we continue exploring the document, Love is Our Mission, The Family Fully Alive, which, as we've talked about in past sessions, is the pre-catechesis for the World Meeting of Families taking place in Philadelphia later this year in September. Today we will be discussing Chapter 7 of this catechesis, Light in a Dark World. Welcome back, Leslie.
Thank you, Deacon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, before we begin our discussion today, why don't we start with prayer? God and Father of us all, in Jesus, your Son and our Savior, you have made us your sons and daughters in the family of the Church. May your grace and love help our families in every part of the world be united to one another in fidelity to the gospel. May the example of the Holy Family, with the aid of your Holy Spirit, guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer, and to always seek your truth and live in your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Leslie, this morning we begin this discussion on light in a dark world. And as this catechesis is sharing with us and wants us to go into, we understand that what we're really looking at that light is the family as being a school of love and justice, of compassion, forgiveness, where we learn mutual respect and patience with one another, and of course, always humility. And in these ways, the family teaches us what it really means to be human. There are many temptations that arise around us in our culture: poverty, affluence, pornography, contraception, and so many other social issues, both political and philosophical, that challenge and threaten family life. The Church resists these things for the sake of protecting the family. Where do we begin with this? Where do you think we should start with this whole discussion on what's happening to the families in the world?
Well, I think this is just where we see the perennial temptation, like the serpent in the garden to Adam and Eve. We all are tempted by false ideas, by our selfishness and our inclination to sin, and we see that in our everyday lives. This is where it starts. The challenges to the family start right in our own hearts, and the Church tries to be a light for us to help us see the love and life that Christ has called us to, and to see our sin and name it and choose a better path.
So we're really talking about the effects of original sin.
Exactly.
How it remains with us and how it affects us as persons, but also in our relationships with one another and with our God.
That's right.
And what are some of these situations that you think that arise? You know, we're discussing, and I mentioned a few in the opening, the economic issues that come into play, the different realms of even our sexuality, how it affects us within our family settings. Why do you think the Church wants to really teach us to resist these? Give us some thoughts.
Well, the first thing that the catechesis covers is the economic issues. For example, the great stresses and strains of poverty alone wreak havoc on family life. Stress saps us of our emotional energy, and when there's regular financial problems, that can be such an instability in the family. And Pope Francis is noted here as saying it's so important that each family can have a home, have a place that belongs to the family to foster that family life, and that we need to strive in all of our countries and with our authorities and institutions to make that a possibility. At the same time, though, this next paragraph in the catechesis offers some great hope for the parents, for families that don't have a lot of resources, and that is that strong family life, strong marriages, can actually be a step in breaking the vicious cycle of poverty. And this is the hopeful part, that when we are given the belief and the faith in Christ, we have a hope that gives us a purpose in life. And when we feel that hope that lifts us up, we actually strive for greater goals, greater achievement. And that translates into a social impact and gives us actually a way to break the cycle economically just by being lifted by the hope in Christ.
Well, I'm thinking of, in the studies that I've had to do, you know, working in the family life office and the effects on marriage of divorce and other things that impact us economically, but also within the family itself, what impacts the family, what harms the family. And I'm very much aware of, you know, how much, for example, divorce affects families, and that the women, typically the woman has custody of children, and they almost immediately fall into that area of poverty. I know what it is sometimes to feel poor. There are times in our lives as we're beginning our families that I think we all struggle. We have to learn how to go through certain things and manage our monies. I remember a time when I was just out of high school and I was living in another city and ran out of funds and actually had to go out to the park on weekends just to panhandle to have money to eat on. And, you know, I was able to get a small job that carried me through, but nevertheless, I had to go through that experience. And it's not as easy as people think just to stand on the corner and ask for food.
I can only imagine.
And so we go through this and we're talking about how a strong family can create this hope to give us this desire to do more and accomplish more. And I think so much of that comes into play, and this is why the church works so hard to help couples be prepared for marriage, is that we know that it's Jesus cares for the whole person. Jesus reaches in to strengthen everything. He calls us out in those areas where we're weak and broken, but he also wants to point us towards this beautiful way of living out our love and our person and our relationships with one another. And so I look at that and I think of that Jesus himself came from a family that was homeless, that were refugees, and was in a world where, you know, we know the story of the adulteress. You know, they wanted to stone the adulteress. So many things that he had to directly deal with sounds very much like what we deal with today in so many ways.
That's true.
Prostitution was occurring then. Things were happening within the families there. How does that relate to us today? How do we bring that into the forefront when we're dealing with so many issues, both economic, but also these other issues of the crises that we have in identity that lead into pornography and the same-sex attraction and all of these other things that have great ramifications on family life?
Well, I think we can have faith and trust in Christ to lead us through our difficulties. That's where the rubber hits the road, is faith. Faith is not for the faint of heart, right? We all encounter some very difficult, trying situations, and it's how we rely on Christ in those times that get us through. That's the starting point.
But that faith is hard. I remember.
Totally.
just this morning, we were talking to somebody, and we heard them say, you know, make this comment that everybody wants to walk on water, but to do so, you have to get out of the boat. Well, that takes a lot of trust and faith. And sometimes getting out of the boat of what the culture tells us is true and stepping into the truth of what God tells us is true is very difficult, and it does require faith. How do we get that faith? That's a tough one.
It is. It sure is. At the best, right, lived at its best in family life, children are brought up seeing their parents model this courageous faith at its best. And so I think the church is seeking to protect the family for that reason, for that deep formation of faith, that deep formation as persons that takes place in the family that God intended to take place in the family. When we encounter some of these struggles, hopefully we've been given a light. The beauty is that if we haven't been given such a bright light in our own biological families, we have a family through baptism. And in a way, then you could say water is thicker than blood. The waters of baptism bind us to a family that can hold that light to us if we didn't have it in our own home.
Well, if you remember last week when we talked about all love-bearing fruit, and we looked at these different areas of life, and we've talked previously on previous programs, we've discussed these areas of marital life in which we're called to the certain unity and the certain strength within the bond of marriage. And it's not something that's just a matter of spirituality or personality. It actually involves our bodies as well and how we live it out. Unfortunately, the culture tells us that that's not the best way to live, that all, you know, we've actually made our human body our sexuality, our gender, a commodity in so many ways. Wherever you watch TV, anytime you turn it on, you're going to see a commercial that somehow speaks to that. That leads us to these whole understandings, misunderstandings, really, this distortion of what our body really says and does, what we were created for. It leads us into areas of pornography and masturbation, contraception, all of these social issues that have great impact upon family and family life. And so it's very important to us as we get ready to take our break in a moment, and we'll get into these a little bit more heavily. It's important to us to be thinking about, how does this impact our family? Why is it important? Why does the church constantly teach against these things? And why does she stand up and say, wait a minute, we have to be a light in this darkness. Somebody's got to guide the way.
Well, let's discuss this in just a moment after our break.
Stay with us on Labors of Love. When we return, we'll continue our discussion on light in a dark world.
This is Labors of Love.
St. Philip the Apostle Catholic Church Parish Hall, 3513 Cimarron, will be a busy place on Friday and Saturday, July 19th and 20th. As the Catholic Daughters of the Americas Court 2399 holds their annual rummage sale. It begins each morning at 7 and closes at 2 p.m. Parishioners have donated gently used items such as clothing, jewelry, toys, furniture, housewares, books, and much more. Proceeds benefit scholarships for high school seniors. For more information, call Belinda Aguilar, 232-8723.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm your guest host, Deacon Stephen Nolte, and I'm here with Leslie Brown discussing Light in a Dark World. Leslie, a moment ago before we took the break, we were discussing, we're just getting into certain areas that really impact family life, and these are hard discussions to
have.
These
are hard issues. Yeah, we can just jump right in here if you want to.
I think you mentioned
pornography. This is one that really just, I guess, is an important issue to me, because sometimes pornography seems like it's just so commonplace. It seems like it's maybe even private. It's not hurting anyone.
But it tears at the heart of every relationship.
It sure does. Pornography may seem like something that, you know, is harmless, or even what a man does. It sometimes is a rite of passage, maybe when a boy's gotten older. Not for all, but it's so normalized that we don't realize the image in pornography began from a real person. And the problem with pornography is that it actually places people in a position as an object to satisfy our appetites. That's what's going on. You can't really color this or try to say that it's something else, because it's making a person an object, and it doesn't call upon our sexual maturity in understanding and respecting a person always as a subject.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I know that one of the things that I've really been coming to grips with more and more, it's not just a man issue anymore.
That's
true. Quite a few years ago, 40, 50, 60 years, even 100 years ago, it was mostly a male-dominated area. But more and more we're seeing statistically that women are indulging in pornography.
That's true. We saw 50 Shades of Grey come out with much following and acceptance.
Many young people, especially preteens, what we call tweeners, are getting into it more and more. There's two areas that are really, really hitting this area. And we're hearing it in the priests are hearing it in the confessional. The church is recognizing it. We're seeing it in failed marriages. We're hearing it when people come in for marriage counseling. So many issues involving the whole realm of human sexuality, that this distortion that the culture has placed upon it has really distracted us from what is the core of marriage.
I think part of that distortion stems from really our failure to embrace our own limits. We seem to, in our culture, have this understanding that because I have this sexual desire, it's self-justifying. Because I have it, it should be fulfilled. And we don't put any limits or boundaries on that or try to guide that sexual desire. So the church as a light would be trying to show us the proper place and the beautiful plan God has for sexuality in a personal way. not in an objectified way.
And I think that's why placing those limits is exactly what you're talking about. Is I think that's what contraception does. It opens or removes those limits. It removes the boundaries of areas where we should be and leads us into other areas of pornography, same-sex attraction, so many other distortions of who and what we are as persons. Let's talk to that just briefly, if you don't mind. How do you see contraception obscuring the beauty of the person?
Well, God designed such a great mystery in our human sexuality when he tied together the great union and intimacy that spouses experience and procreation. And that's something that I think as married couples, we learn as we live it. And contraception separates those two matter-of-factly. And actually, there's such common use of contraception in some countries that it may even seem shocking for the church to suggest that we would do otherwise in using natural family planning. But contraception can put us right on that path of objectifying ourselves or objectifying even our spouses just because of our sexual appetites.
Well, I found it very interesting. Even when you were first speaking, you said, and you emphasize that and. It's not an and or. It's
right.
that unity and that procreation, this union of sexual love and procreation go hand in hand. There's not a separation. And when we contracept, we're, again, and I think we discussed this once before in a previous session, that we are separating the intent and purpose of what it is. And yet we're also separating the fact that we are to come together in unity and communion. It's not just a feel-good thing. It's not just a satisfying our own personal desires, but it's to draw us together in very specific ways to create society, to help be that foundation of society. And I think that's part of what contraception, what you're speaking to. And so you mentioned natural family planning. What is natural family planning? How do we approach that? Now, I know we've got natural family planning awareness week coming up next month in July. So let's talk about that for a moment.
Well, natural family planning is based on the nature of the person. That's why it is called natural, not because it is without chemicals or anything like that. And it's based on the natural fertility patterns that occur in a woman's body. And to practice natural family planning, man and woman, husband and wife, observe these signs, and then they're selective in their intercourse, dependent upon what they feel God is calling them to in their lives at that time. For me, the beauty or even the magic of natural family planning is that spouses are really called to subordinate their sexual desire and their sexual relationship to the greater plan of God. And so that asks for some listening and discernment in placing oneself before God.
That goes back to having that dominion that he gave us in Genesis, that free will to participate in his creation, not to make it our own.
Right. Natural family planning is trying to support our interior freedom to choose to express our love with all the powers that it has sexually, and in particular, recognize the responsibility that God has given us in procreation to be free in that expression as persons, choosing to love my spouse in this way now, knowing that God has also entrusted us with a mission of living our marriage and family under his reign and his kingdom.
But how can families embrace this? I mean, we're talking about a culture that tells us that do what you want to do, do what makes you happy, all these other things. It's so countercultural what we're talking
about.
It sure is. And it's difficult for family. How do parents, you know, number one, how does a couple come together to learn this? But also, how do they impart this knowledge to their children? How do they stand as a witness in this world? If we're supposed to be that light in the dark world, and the dark world is all around us and pulling us more and more into it like a giant dark hole, if you will, black hole, how does that help us?
Well, I usually say that my children, I hope that they find a spouse who understands sex. And I don't mean that in the sense of the Joy of Sex book or anything. I mean in the sense of what God has given us in our human sexuality as a way to come together in communion and express love. And in marriage, that in a sexual relationship is expressed physically, totally in the mutual gift of self that occurs in intercourse. When we understand what that is expressing, in a way, it is a physical mirror of what we're doing in our lives together as spouses. We're joining together. And also it's the place where God has chosen in his great love to allow us to participate in procreation and bringing a new life into the world with his power. If you understand that with your spouse, it's a greater overall understanding of what you're doing together as a couple. What are we about as a married couple? Again, it's placing ourselves in the eternal perspective that our marriage is not just about us, but that it's given to us by God.
Well, this kind of almost brings us to a point of something else. It's another very difficult subject, and it's currently today, you know, people are voting on it. People are going out and saying, oh, no, it needs to be this way. It's become popular, and I think it's because we've heard so much about it that people have just gotten to think that everybody believes it, and so it must be okay. And that's same-sex attraction. Yes, same-sex mm-hmm. attraction, that they're following one another. You know what? I don't see the harm in it. How's it going to hurt anybody? And this is a tough one because it's not politically correct to speak against it today. And yet as a church, we have to stand for that truth that we see if we're going to be that light in the dark world. Briefly, how can we?
Well, to me, it's a very difficult question because as we've been discussing in this catechesis, we are made for love. We're made to exist in friendship, in love with humans here on earth, and we're made to be in love with God. And that is innate to our very structure of who we are. And so that is propelling all of us. Now, we tend to, I think, when it comes to same-sex attraction and the question of marriage there or not, we tend to equate romantic love or affection with marriage. The church always upholds the goodness of love and chaste friendship. And that friendship should also exist in marriage. But marriage is not just based on that affection or that desire for sexual satisfaction, sexual companionship, if you will. Marriage has always been based on the procreative potential of a man and a woman together in joining their lives totally. It's a very tricky issue because it has to do with our experience of our own hearts and our desire to be fulfilled in this life and the fear of being lonely. So I think the church pastorally, all of us are called to reach out to each other to remedy that loneliness.
And that really, really brings us to those points of the philosophical, legal, and political context today that is just so confused, and I think that we're going to have to possibly look at in more depth as we go into our next chapters and how the church wants to heal. Stay with us. Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
God the Father has created us out of love and for love, giving us life, a life we are called to share with others. The prophet Isaiah says, "The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb. He gave me my name." God knows us each by our most intimate name, the name by which he calls us from the beginning. He knits each of us together in our mother's womb, fashioning us by his tender hands, hands that shape each of us with love and promise. The name by which he calls us defines us. It gives us identity. It reminds us that we belong to a family, the family of God. This is what gives us a special dignity and beauty, belonging to and being loved by our Father. If we were to realize how much we are loved, we would treat each other and ourselves with the dignity we deserve, the dignity God desires for us. He loves each of us uniquely. Each of us has our name inscribed in his heart and written on his palms. He invites us to come to him, to seek him. Only through his presence can we know him, and only in knowing him can we know ourselves. This seeking is a journey of discovery, of a growing awareness of his presence dwelling in the depths of our heart. It is this awareness of his presence that gives us identity, meaning, and joy. It is the source of all life and fruitfulness. We must realize that we can bear no fruit apart from him. It is his free gift of love for us
that allows the possibility for a fruitful life, the possibility to become a gift to one another. It is in being a gift to one another and receiving the gift of others that we most closely image Him. This giftedness is what allows us to enter the fullness of life He has called us to. If we are to live this fullness of life, to have it abundantly, we must ask ourselves, what is it that makes me hesitate to give myself fully to Him, to give Him the deepest yearnings of my heart, my desire to be something more than what I can be if left to myself? In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus responds to a question with the words, "Come and see." It is His invitation to the first disciples, and the same invitation He extends to each of us today. He invites us first to go with Him, to see where He stays, where He can be found. It is an invitation which also invites us to see the heart of the Father from where He comes. There was once a young man who eagerly described his desire to serve the hungry and poor. The wise man to whom he was speaking asked him, "When do you plan to make your desire become a reality?" The young man replied, "As soon as the opportunity arrives." In response, the wise man said, "Opportunity never arrives. It is already here." My dear brothers and sisters, the moment and the place He invites us to enter are already here. We are invited to come to the heart of the Father and to enter into the labors of His love. May you hear God calling you. May you recognize your name when He calls. And may God's blessings be with you today and always as you seek to answer His call. Amen.
This is Deacon Stephen Nolte. Once again, Leslie, I want to thank you for having been with us today on Labors of Love. Next week, I hope that we look forward to continuing our discussion as we go into Chapter 8 of the Catechesis, Love is Our Mission, the Family Fully Alive. The chapter we'll be going into is called A Home for the Wounded Heart. And I think that we're going to find there, those questions we were answering today, I think that that chapter is going to address how do we respond to the challenges that we face today. Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love today.
Thank you, Deacon.
Join us next week for another edition of Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.